Thank you. Good morning. So we're going to, I love the singing, and that was beautiful. And I want to wake us up just a little bit because I know that people are tired. Some of you drove in. Who drove in today? Who's new here today? We want to welcome you all. We missed you last evening, and some of us stayed here last night, and maybe you didn't get a whole lot of sleep. I'm not sure. So to wake us up, I'm going to need one adult leader from every church that's represented. I don't know who that is. You students, pick your representative and send them up here to help me out. Did I turn my... Is the mic on? Is the mic on? Okay. All right, just line up right here. Just line up right here. We want to get one leader from every group here, so that should be most everybody. If you don't see your church, that's great. So, wow, that's awesome. So there's this many different congregations represented. Is that right? Oh, that's cool. Sorry. Wow, two more. That's awesome. Okay. So you all probably sing this song. It's one of my daughter's favorites when they were younger. They're older now. But it's a song called With Christ as My Vessel. You all sing that song? You don't sing it? Well, this is going to be even way better then. Better than I expected. So it's a song that starts off kind of boring, and most students are like, this is a little kid song, and it is kind of a VBS song. I'm going to walk you through it really carefully, okay? You're going to watch me. Students, you can participate as well, but this is how the song goes, okay? With Christ as my vessel, so we're making like a boat. With Christ as my vessel, I can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Christ as my vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Now, you may not live in a square, but you get the idea. All right? Then we're going to say, sailing, sailing home. Then they go, woo! We'll do the woo the first time through. Then we go, sailing, sailing home. No woo then. And then with Christ as my vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Now, it starts off very simple, okay? Very simple. So I'm just going to go right here. I'm going to trust that they're going to get this, and we'll just try it, okay? It goes like this. With Christ as my vessel, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Christ as my vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Here we go. Sailing, sailing home. Woo! Sailing, sailing home. With Christ as my vessel, can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Now, don't give them a hand because they've not completed the task yet. That was pretty easy. Where'd Kaylee go? Is Kaylee here today? Oh, good. Okay, Kaylee, you excited? You ready to go today? I meant to check in with you before we got started. If you weren't here last night, Kaylee just took the collective energy of the room up three notches, and that was great. So glad you made it back, Kaylee. All right. So if this starts going bad, Kaylee, we might need your help. Are you opposed to helping out? I don't want to embarrass anybody, okay? My wife always gets mad. She's like, never bring somebody up unless you've talked to them ahead of time. Which I'd violated right here. But we're going to just start this again. Now, the way the song goes this time is we're going to leave out a word each time, okay? And we're going to start, where instead of saying with Christ, we're just going to go, okay? So, and then the rest of the song is just like it was. So it's pretty easy, okay? All right, here we go. With, as my vessel, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm. Smile at the storm with, as my vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Sailing, sailing home. Woo! Sailing, sailing home with, as my vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. I had hopes that we'd make it through the second round with a little more success than we might have done, but I think we got pretty good. I also forgot to tell you that we do replace a word each time, and we also go just a little bit faster. All right, so here we go with, as my, here we go. Ready? All right. With, as, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With, as, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Sailing, sailing home, sailing, sailing home. With, as, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Now, I'm not going to call anybody out, but I'm 48. I'm doing this. These people are various ages, and they're doing it. Now, there's always some students that are like, yeah, I ain't doing that. No, there's no way I'm singing that. No, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to look really cool because I'm super cool. I'm going to sing that. And I just want to nicely remind you that one day in the new heavens and the new earth, we're going to be praising a lot. We're going to be singing a lot. Eternity's a long time. We're probably going to get around to this song. So you might as well practice now. Or I want to be there when God goes, let's all sing this. And you go, no, I ain't singing that. Because I don't know what the response will be. I mean, I don't know. It's like, well, there's places where they ain't singing. So we don't want that. That was probably too cruel. I shouldn't have said that. But so here we go. I'm just letting them get a little bit of a break. Now, third try. Here we go. Ready? We're not going to talk between every chorus now. All right, here we go. With as I can at the storm with as I can at the storm as we go sailing home, sailing home with as I can at the storm as we go sailing home. Now I will talk during that for this round. Because I just got to laughing because I remember one time I was watching this kid and he kept singing. Well, he was watching and he was singing along and he was going, and I kept wondering, why is he hitting himself in the face? Why is he hitting himself in the face during this song? I realized I was teaching at a camp. It was about 128 degrees outside. My glasses kept falling down. So while singing the song, I kept doing that. And he thought that was one of the hand motions of the song. I was like, that kid's going to poke his eyes out. What is he? So I finally said, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm just doing what you're doing. I'm like, that's not part of the song. And then I realized I was doing it every single time. So anyway, just made me laugh. I forgot about that. Here we go. Ready? As we go sailing home, sailing home, woo, sailing home with, as we go sailing home. Now I got tickled that time because I turned around and I saw Amy standing here and she's looking at me like, I have planned this whole youth rally and the reward I get is to stand up here and do this silliness. No. Let's see if you ever come back to Pittsburgh, old man. No, you're never coming back. All right, here we go. Ready? Here we go. Ready? As we go home. As we go home. All right, now Preston, is it Preston? Preston's over here drinking his coffee. He's kind of like, I would sing, but I got to keep hydrated. I can't sing. I really like to sing. I love this song. It's a great song, but man, I've got to make sure I'm hydrated. Otherwise, it'll be a problem. All right, so you're gonna be called up here, Preston. You're gonna sing along with us. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Ready? Now we can remember, this is the last time we're going to go through. Okay, here we go. All right. Because it's really difficult because you got to make sure you get all of them. She's ready to go. All right, ready to go. All right. Amy hates me even more now than she did the last course. All right, here we go. As we go. Woo! As we go. All right, with Christ as my vessel, I can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. With Christ as my vessel, I can smile at the storm. As we go sailing home. Give them a hand. You all did a great job. Nice job. What is the moral of the song?
It's okay.
The moral of the song is to know when to... Hey, here's the moral. It's a fun song. The moral of the song, I used to tell my girls, is this. The minute that you take Christ out of the song and replace Him with something else, it all starts going downhill from there. We laugh at that, but that's kind of a kid's song. Here's a little side note. Something that we do with our youth group that our teens love, and you may enjoy this. We take VBS silly songs and we sing them differently. We sing them at VBS style, but then we have some times where we're having a praise around the campfire, and we sing some of these songs the way we would sing a praise song. I'll just give you an idea. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but it's just something that might be cool for your group to do. Like, we'll sit around the campfire and we'll just sing, with Christ as my vessel, I can smile at the storm. We'll sing the song. Or we'll sing, You know, one of my favorites is, we get to praise the Lord, hallelujah, I don't care what the devil's going to do. You all may sing that song. We take songs that are kids' songs, and we just sing them in more of a praise tone, and they take on a whole new meaning. It's really cool to do that. So take some of your VBS songs, try it out, and with your group you can do that. So that song, when you change one thing about that song, you're now singing a completely different song. If you change one thing, you suddenly find yourself in an entirely different story just by saying, I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to do this. I want us to laugh a little bit. Thank you. If you've been around me long, you know that I like for us to kind of loosen up a little bit, because we are going to... Well, if you were here last night, you understand this, but if you weren't, then it's going to surprise you. But last night we talked about storming Area 51. You're like, I knew I should have been here last night. But we talked about Area 51 is a place where there's mystery, and we want to find out what is inside of it, and so we're going to storm it together. And we talked about that a little bit last night. That's what we're doing this weekend, is we're storming the Area 51 of the story of Jonah. There's something in there that we want to figure out what it is that we don't really know and what it is. So change one thing, you suddenly find yourself in a different story. The way I want to illustrate this in a rather humorous way this morning. Years ago, I sent this tweet. I just dropped our typewriter down the stairs, and by the time it had reached the bottom, it had accidentally written a Hallmark Christmas movie. That was so when I sent that, my family loves Hallmark movies, and you all, if you've heard me teach before, you've heard me, I tend to talk a little bit about Hallmark movies, and maybe not the most positive of ways. I watch a lot of them. I've seen almost all of them. I've got three daughters and a wife, and so I watch a lot of them. But I'm like, every now and then, I need to watch something blow up. I need to see something blow up. And so I decided on a whim to come up with a hashtag, Hallmark Action Movies. And I'll give you a chance to participate later on. I'll just give you an idea. Some of these are some I came up with. Some are some that my students came up with. Some are some that when I put it out in the internet, that people I didn't know just kind of caught on and said, hey, I like this. I never could quite get it trending, but maybe you can help me out with this. So, for example, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Blooms. That would be a Hallmark action movie. The Fault in Our Star Wars. That would be one. Dependence Day. Too Fine, Too Flirtatious. Lord of the Engagement Rings. Indiana Jones and the Last Cruise. That'd be one. Soul Matrix. There we go. Dating Private Ryan. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Wedding Dishes. The Dark Knight Before Christmas. Batman Returns with the Groceries. The Good, the Bad, and the Snuggly. That's a good one. The X-Men. Rambo First Love. Or Rambo First Kiss. Or Rambos. And these are all Hallmark action. Jack Reacher. The Terminator. The Godmother. Somebody sent in The Fast and the Furriest. Queen Kong. That's one that you want to make sure you see. Stranger Rings. The Incredible Hulk. Ironing Man. That's one that every lady wants to see. And then my favorite, Cry Hard. Those are the Hallmark action movies. I'm not on Instagram, but if you are on Twitter and you want to send me your Hallmark action movie, I'd love to see what's the best one that you come up with. Not that you find anywhere else. And what would be a really good Hallmark action movie? I'd love to hear some of those. But the idea is, you take one of those things, you change one word, one syllable, one letter even, and you find yourself in a completely different story. Now, most of us remember Toy Story. I'm not going to spoil everything for you, but you know that Buzz Lightyear has got Andy's name on the sole of his shoe, and it has to be pointed out to him by Woody the Cowboy. Woody says, you know, you're not a space ranger, you are a toy, and Buzz has forgotten who he is. Well, then in the second movie, which was just fascinating, when Andy has his name, he finds himself at a yard sale. Woody finds himself at a yard sale. This toy collector guy gets the Woody Cowboy toy from Al, you know, the Al's Toy Barn guy, and he begins to clean him up, fix him up, and the first thing that he does, or the last thing that he does, is to take some brown paint and to just wipe over Andy's name on his soul, pun, you know, kind of intended. And when I saw that, I thought, that's really, really powerful, because now Woody finds himself in the same situation that Buzz did. Woody has to be reminded of his true identity. You'll know that later on in the movie, the way that Woody begins to kind of come to his senses is he scrapes that paint off and he begins to realize there's the name of my owner is underneath all of this paint. So, That's what I want us to try to do this weekend. What a youth rally does is to kind of remind us who we really are. And Jonah is trying to figure all this out. I probably shared this particular story with you at the youth rally in years past, but it's worth mentioning again. Our group, when we go to Mexico on a mission trip, some of you I know have been to the City of Children, or you've been to other countries where you'll go and you'll buy knockoff, you know, some knockoff products. And our guys and girls always love to buy these Oakley sunglasses down there because they're like $5 a pair, $10 a pair. And we call them Jokelys or Fakelys or whatever, all kinds of names we call them because they're not very real. And they're real sunglasses, but they end up breaking after about, you know, a week or so, and they're pretty cheap. But they look, from a distance, they look pretty real. One of our students, he says, you know, if I try to go online, well, this is a fake website online, so where they're, you know, $14 a pair. And then Oakley even comes out with a website and tells you how to find, look at their logo and look at the way the glasses are made, and they tell you how to spot a fake. That's what, there's a whole section on their website about how you spot a fake. Well, our students one time had one of these, and I said, why do you wear those? And he says, because when I walk into school wearing these Oakley sunglasses, I look really cool, and everybody thinks I got these Oakley sunglasses on. And I said, yeah, but what happens if they get close enough to be able to tell? Because it obviously doesn't say Oakley. It's spelled different or whatever. And they said, well, that's easy. If they start getting too close, I just take them off, and I fold them up, and I put them away. Because if people get too close, then they can tell that they're not real. And then I was like, oh, interesting. So I start writing in my journal, and one of the other students is standing there, and he says, oh man, dude, you just became a sermon illustration. Because I thought that's exactly what happens with most of us, is that we show up at a youth rally and we wear the youth rally shirt, we have the fish sticker on our car, we carry a Bible, and a lot of us can realize that from a distance I can look and fool everybody that everything's going fine with my walk with Christ. But if anybody starts getting close, they're going to realize that I'm not really who I claim to be, and I'm not really what this book says that I'm supposed to be. This book is not a book of rules. It is essentially the section on the Oakley website that really tells you how to spot a fake. And it's not about how to spot a fake out there. It's really a book that says how to spot a fake in here. This is a book that just lets me know when I am not being real and honest with myself. It's not always about judging other people. Not that we're not called to confront other people. Jonah is the whole book of Jonah, where he's called to confront somebody else. But God is not really trying to reach Nineveh in this story, I'm convinced. I think He's really trying to reach Jonah. So a few more maybe funny pictures to look at this idea, and then we'll move into a deeper part of the text. So in Mexico, you can buy the Adidas bag, and some of my favorites are when you see these restaurants in other countries. Here's the KFD. I don't know what that is. It's probably like the KLG, or maybe it's like the ZFC. I don't know what's going on. Or here's the 712. There you go. It's 712. Burger Friends. There you go. There's Burger Friends. Freshway. I don't know. It's a country in the Middle East. Sunny Day. Again, if you're looking at it from a distance, you really think you are looking at a Subway or a Sandway. That looks really delicious. That's a great one. Pizza Hut. Dairy Fairy. I don't know. I'm not eating there. Michael Alone. I don't know. The translation somehow got mixed up there. Mash Donald's. And then my favorite, Mac Dolan's. Good old Mackie D's, Mac Dolan's. Or there's Stars and Bucks Cafe, which is probably accurate. And then I don't know what's going on here, but don't eat it, Donkey Donuts. And then, of course, the one that's not messing around just pretty much says what it is. Now, every time I show those, whether it's to two people or to 200 people, there's always a lot of laughter because people are like, oh man, that's hilarious. Because we know what it's supposed to be. We know what it's supposed to be. And then we see that it's obviously not that. It's close. I just wonder sometimes if the demons of hell look at you or I, our churches, our youth groups, our marriages, our relationships, our friendships, or our individual walk with Jesus and say, that is hilarious. We know what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be this. But hey, everybody get a load of this. And just how close or how different or how wildly off the charts are you when it's trying to match the original? We asked this question last night. People hear the story of Jonah and they say, is this story really true? Like, did this story really happen? Now, again, I remind you last night, some people say, I just can't believe that there's a guy that can, you know, stay in a fish. Like, the story is so unbelievable. You know, but again, so is the resurrection, and so are some other stories. I don't really think we should even really get caught up or not. I do know that in Matthew, Jesus references the story. Some of the teachers of the law say, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." And he said, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here." I know that Jesus mentioned the story, so that's certainly worth mentioning if you ever get caught up in trying to figure out whether or not the story is true. But the wrong question is, how can a man live inside a fish? I mean, because I could tell a story about a movie and be quoting a movie and say a lesson that I learned from a particular movie, you know, Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or some movie, and the movie may not be. I believe that the story of Jonah, because Jesus references it, Jesus could be referencing a story. It doesn't really matter. That's not the point. The point is, it's the wrong question to ask. How can a man live inside of a fish? A better question: how long can I live outside of God's will? That's a better question for us to spend our time on. Because Jonah says, "I'm going to choose my own adventure." Last night we talked about choose your own adventure books. Jonah says, "I'm going to just turn to this page instead of this page. God is telling me to go to this page, but I think I'm going to go to this page, and I'm going to do what I want to do." Here's the ending of another choose your own adventure book. "The hours stretch into days, the days stretch into weeks. Now you've waited so long that the computer tells you that your chances of surviving hibernation are nearly zero. You can only hope that somehow your crystal ship will reach the new planet before you grow old and die, or that you will at last find the Aloha, or that something will happen to fix the ship's hypertime device. But the months go by and nothing changes. You grow more and more depressed as you sit and wait, and finally, disoriented by the incredible loneliness of outer space, you lose all will to survive." The end. Good night, kids. It's a bedtime story, and there you go. It's very, very, very depressing. Now, we laugh at that story, but when I saw that and was reminded of that, I told you the story of a young man in our group. His name is Jonathan. That's not his real name, but just to protect his identity, I'll just call him Jonathan, and he probably would mind. He'd probably stand up here and tell you the story quite freely, but that's his story to tell and not mine. Jonathan has been struggling a lot with some real anxiety and some real depression and some real frustration, some real anger, and the story of Jonah has really spoken to him. This particular ending of the story, while a science fiction setting on a rocket ship in outer space, is not far from where he finds himself, pretty much losing a lot of hope to be able to go on. He and I have been communicating via text this entire trip, and we've gotten him now where he is meeting with somebody at a professional level that is able to get him the help that he needs and having some really good conversations. He's really, really thankful for the friends of his that kind of heard his despair and shared it with those of us who care about him. But Jonah, we got through Jonah 1 last night. We're going to try to get through Jonah 2 and 3. Jonah chapter 2 is a whole different part of the story. Because now, we've already talked about how God provided a great storm and God provided a great fish. And Jonah finds himself in the belly of the fish. Now, Jonah would have had access to the Psalms and would have known, probably would have sung these or quoted these songs like Psalm 124. "If the Lord had not been on our side," let Israel say, "if the Lord had not been on our side, when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth, who have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Now, how many of you recognize that song? You all sing the song, "Had it not been the Lord who was on our side." How many of you all know that song? I didn't know if it's sung here a whole lot or not, but I'll try to put the slides up and we'll try to sing it later. But it's a beautiful song. It's one that I love because it comes straight from Scripture. "Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the waters of the enemy would have swallowed us alive. But blessed be the Lord who would not give us up." Jonah would have known all of this. He would have had this as a playlist. Now, some of you I know might have been... what group here was from Impact down at Lipscomb? Y'all came this past summer? Y'all were down there? So you'll remember... I talked about this there, so I apologize. This is going to hear some of this again, but just this one portion is relevant to our talk today. When I graduated, we all in 1989, a bunch of us got this thing called the Bible Promise Book. Anybody my age remember the Bible Promise Book? It essentially was a book that told you what to do when you feel any of these emotions. And it had a lot of Psalms that it would quote. Or what to do when you are experiencing fear or in need of courage or in need of peace or lukewarm spiritually. Or then even what to do when you need confidence and things like that. And so you would go to it and it would kind of give you a psalm to help you, right? How many of you had a book like this? Right? I had one of those. Well, I found this particular, this is from 2011, you can see the date, so it's an old story. But a website called Emotional Bag Check lets you trade your problems for music. So the way it would work is, you would, you'd click on this button. I've got baggage, I've been feeling really, we'll just say crummy lately. Every time I turn around, something else is falling apart. Say, could you hold this a minute? And you'd click that button and you'd write a paragraph about what you were dealing with in your life. It was a pretty popular website back in 2011. Or you could click on this button that said, take that for you. I'm really loving life right now. Things are finally clicking into place. I've got happiness to spare. Let me lighten your load. So you would click on one of those two buttons, you describe what was going wrong in your life, and then if you were doing well, you'd get somebody's story and you'd give them a song, you'd recommend a song by an artist that met whatever thing they were dealing with. Now, I don't know if it was always the best advice, but I do know that, so this is 2011, so keep that in mind, but this is a record of all the artists that were mentioned by Emotional Bag Check. These are all popular artists. Some of them are still popular now. But these are all artists that people would say, if you're going through this particular thing, this song is going to help you. Now, when you see this logo, everybody knows, most of you know that this logo is the Spotify logo. And Spotify is all built around organizing your music into what? Into playlists. It serves other purposes. But so I asked some people online as I was getting ready for a talk that I gave about the Psalms down at Lipscomb last year to give me some playlists. Tell me some playlists that you create, and I want to see who had the most unusual playlists. So people sent in and said things like, I've got a cleaning playlist, a potty training playlist for my kid, or a cooking playlist. I've got playlists for dance parties with an 8-month-old, laying out in the sun, workout bonuses, getting hyped to go country line dancing, laying in the dark, being sad. I do playlists for everything. This person says, my 13-year-old daughter, she gave these answers, showering, studying, homework, those are separate playlists, basketball, sleep, and fighting depression. Another friend of mine said, music that's designed to make elders think more highly of me when they ride in my car. This girl lives in Alaska. She's got a drive to Tok and a drive to Fairbanks playlist. There's no radio stations, very spotty cell service. And so she also has a soaking in the tub playlist. She says, okay, I'm going to say it, a birth playlist. It's definitely a thing. Then I got a rollerblading mood playlist. It's pretty much all the music you'd hear in the X Games in the 90s. Playlist made for when it's just me in the car. And then he says, playlist for when my wife is in the car too. Two separate playlists. Someone I know has a playlist that is just all the songs from the Yule Ball and the fourth Harry Potter. That's what she says. And then my friend that I graduated with, a girl I had not heard from since I graduated, 30 years ago, and she writes back and says, hey, I saw your post, made me laugh. She lives in a hurricane zone, and they just got through, I think it was Hurricane Michael that came through last year. And so Janelle says, we've got a hurricane party playlist. I'm just going to read you the songs. Pretty clever. Blame It on the Rain, Purple Rain, Should I Stay or Should I Go, Once in a Lifetime, Flood, Living or Ride Like the Wind, Living on a Prayer, It's the End of the World as We Know It, I Can't Go for That, September, I Won't Back Down, Ride Like the Wind, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, I'm Still Standing, Thunder Rolls, Final Countdown, Rock You Like a Hurricane, Rain Is a Good Thing, Have You Ever Seen the Rain, Blown Away, Bridge Over Troubled Water, Set Fire to the Rain, It's Raining Men, Here Comes the Rain Again, Help, and then Left in the Dark. That's her hurricane playlist, and she says that pretty much got us through. Because she said this, she said something I thought was profound. These are the songs that got us through the storm. Now, she was meaning it more kind of joking, but I really like that. Then there, so I thought about some playlists, and I thought very specific playlists. And I tried to make up a list, and I talked to some friends. So just raise your hand if you've got a playlist like this. The ultimate hairbrush songs for when your inner sass queen or dork comes out while attempting to clean your room, but you actually just end up dancing around and making a fool out of yourself. Or there's this playlist, The Long Ride on Public Transportation, when you dramatically stare out the window into the distance and pretend you are in a music video. The I Really Need to Get Stuff Done, But There's No Way I Can Motivate Myself Without This Pumped Up Music. The Major Feels playlist for just when you need a good cry while eating an entire carton of ice cream all by yourself. Sunny days when I want to put my headphones on and forget all my problems and pretend I'm on top of the world. The super chill still in my pajamas at 3 p.m. on a Saturday when you feel super lazy and don't feel like doing anything other than laying in bed all day playlist. Or there's this one, the late night freeway drive when you're going down the road only slightly more than the speed limit with the windows down, feeling like you could take on the whole world. And then I like this one. Taylor Swift took all of her music off Spotify, so somebody created this playlist. Just check it out. Hey, Taylor, we wanted to play your amazing love songs, and they're not here right now. But I think my favorite one, I'll just let you read it. This is probably, it's a little nerdy, but this is probably my favorite Clever playlist of all time. It's the Peter Parker playlist. Just check that out. Yeah. Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. I don't know what's happening. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Please, I don't want to go. I'm sorry. It's a little nerd out there and maybe a spoiler. So, Jonah has access to all of these Psalms. He's in the fish, and what does he do? From inside the fish, Jonah prays to the Lord, and he says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. You listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, you brought my life up from the pit. Now keep in mind, he's praying this while still in the fish. He's not out of the fish yet. This is still the prayer that he prays. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. I just want to think about that phrase for just a minute. Because as I'm going through this psalm in preparation for these messages, I'm looking at every word of Jonah's prayer. And I'm just thinking, first of all, I met with Jonathan last week before I came here. He knows I'm in Pittsburgh this week. And I just said, I want you to pray the prayer from Jonah chapter 2. Because you are in the belly of a fish. And I want you to pray this prayer. But put your own name in it. Rewrite it. Write it out by hand. I've given him some very specific instructions. And he's really working at it. And then I asked him this question. I said, hey Jonathan, when is the loudest that you ever remember cheering? Like the loudest cheer you ever cheered. It's a question that's kind of fun to think about. You can talk about it later, maybe your youth groups meet and process the weekend, but when are some times, and I got to think in my life, when are the loudest times I've cheered in my life? Well, some that I thought of, when in 1989, when the movie Batman came out with Michael Keaton, I was in the theater, and this wasn't the loudest I cheered, but it was the first time ever I remember hearing an entire theater erupt in cheers. I mean, people would often clap or laugh, but there's a scene, you know, where Batman and the Batwing flies up into the moon, and the plane stops for just a moment right there, and then it drops back down into the clouds, and the whole theater erupted in cheers. And I just remember thinking, that was really cool. Like, we just all got really excited about that. Then I remember cheering in the movie Red Dawn, which has been remade. But in the 80s, it was a popular movie. Some of the people my age will remember. And there was a scene where the Russians or the Cubans, I don't remember, it was the communists of some sort. They're trying to take over the town, and they come running in, and they're running after some kids, and some other kids have hidden in the fields in these little makeshift holes, and they pop up, and it's a pretty violent picture. But it was a moment where everybody stood up, and everybody started chanting USA, USA, and going crazy. And we all cheered at that. I remember cheering pretty loud when Alabama, the team that my grandfather played for in the 20s, so we've been Alabama fans, even though we live in Tennessee, when they won the national championship 2 years ago, I remember that's probably one of the loudest I've ever cheered. And I just remembered I showed this next picture to my youth group back home, not realizing where I was going to be when I was going to show it. So maybe I should have deleted it. But probably the loudest that I've ever cheered in my life is probably this moment right here. And it was not intentional. I did not mean to do this. Yeah, I'm sorry. Now everybody's like, I'm done. I'm never coming back to youth rally. But I probably cheered as loud in my life at that particular moment, so much so that I wanted to commemorate it by having this picture made of me and my daughter, which has fooled at least two teens in our youth group. That one girl legitimately asked me the question, whoa, dude, did you get arrested for that? And I was like, no, everybody was so excited, they just ignored me. She was like, How did you do that? Anyway, it's Photoshop. But that's probably the loudest that I cheered. And I asked Jonathan, when's the loudest you cheered? So he's talking about football games or he's talking about some other things. And there's a lot of things that you all cheer for really loudly. And most of the time it's a sporting event. Sometimes it's at an event like Winterfest or Impact or church camp or something like that. But when was the last time that you really, with shouts of praise, were thankful to God for rescuing you from something that you were struggling with or that you were addicted to or that you were caught in? When was the time, have you ever really reacted? I don't necessarily mean you jumped up and down and went nuts, but maybe. But when was the time that you ever had that same level of excitement over your relationship with Jesus? And then Jonah says, what I have vowed, I will make good. And I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. So, Jonah begins to say essentially this, I was drowning underwater, but you brought me up and allowed me to breathe again. Because Jonah is underwater. If he stays underwater, he's going to die. But God brings him up. What is this foreshadowing? Okay, our two answers, both of them were right. Somebody said something back there. What'd you say?
Resurrection.
Somebody else said another word. Baptism. Which both essentially are the same thing. Both are right answers. When I think about baptism, I think about the story of Jonah. I think about somebody that is underwater and somebody that says, I'm going to die unless I am brought up out of this. And when they are brought up, the first thing they do is they breathe again. Think about this. Teens all the time that didn't grow up in the church, they're asking, like, baptism, it just seems kind of silly. Like, what? I don't understand. Like, why do you have to do that? Why can't I just sign something? Or why can't I just say something? Or just jump up and down four times and say, I love Jesus. That makes as much sense as baptism, at least in their minds. And I say, well, think about this. When you go underwater, it's the one moment that all of us in this room are equal. No matter how talented you are, how rich you are, no matter what your ACT score is, no matter how popular you are, what award you've won, your position in society, it doesn't matter. We're all equal. When we go underwater, the only thing that matters to us is our next breath. God gives us something that not only symbolizes us being covered and surrounded, it is a death, and it is a burial, and it is a resurrection, but it is also a reminder that when we go under the water, the only thing that matters is us coming up out of that water again. Jonah, instead of saying, save me from the storm, like he was on the boat, with Christ as my vessel, I can smile at the storm. Thank you. Save me through the storm is the message of Jonah. All right, so one thing that you need to know that I think is really cool that most people don't know, every line from the prayer in Jonah 2 is a direct quote from a psalm. In other words, in that moment of despair, Jonah is quoting a playlist. And he is quoting from all these psalms that he would have known. And he's quoting songs just like you do when you're depressed or when you're sad or when you're angry or all those other playlists I gave you. You quote and you begin to quote lines from songs. And then the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So last night we looked at these things, if you were here, and we said this. What to expect when you run from God? Because I told you last night, there's only two ways that any of us respond to God. There's only two ways. Who remembers the first one? What's the first one? Okay, obey and listen the first time. And then I gave you the second way. Who remembers the second way? The second way is that, yes, back there. You run from God, and then what's next? And then wait for God to get your attention. What to expect when you run from God? Expect a storm, I said. We said expect to put other people in danger and expect a fish. But I said fourth, it was going to be continued. You should expect to be vomited. And I say this from experience. Because there was a time in college when I decided that I'd lived a pretty good life. I'd done lots of good things. And I just decided that I could do what I wanted to do. And I made some choices that I'm not proud of. And sure enough, there was a storm and I put other people in danger. There was a fish and then expect to be vomited. It happened. It's humiliating and it's gross. I wasn't actually vomited up by a fish, but it felt like that. When I see this word, I think about this particular image, which I saw, and I was like, what is that? It looks like a school cafeteria. It's actually the factory that makes all of the fake vomit, right? That you see in all the gag plays. Kind of reminds me of the pizza at my school. But which I actually love, by the way. I actually love that pizza. But Jonah gets vomited up onto land, and I wish we had time to talk about what that must have looked like or what must have felt like. But I want to, if you're jotting down notes or you're thinking about a friend of yours, you do need to know this, students. You will not be able to convince everyone. All you can do is be there when their ship goes down or when they are vomited up. And part of ministry, adults, those of us that were all up here, I wanted you to see them because I wanted you to know these are the people that are willing to sing silly songs for you. We wanted to laugh and have fun. The real purpose of that, you find out now. I wanted all those people to stand up here so that you knew they gave up a weekend to be here. They're standing up there doing that because they love me. They drove us here. Some of them took off. They may have had to take a vacation day to get you here. Some of them have given up all kinds of things to be here. But they did that because they want you to know that when you are vomited up, that they're going to be there. They're going to be there to help clean you up. Some of the adults that are up here know that all too well. You've been a part of cleaning somebody up who's been vomited up after a really bad choice. And it's stinky and smelly and dirty. It's not always fun. Some of you are waiting for it to happen. Some of you are heartbroken because right now somebody's not with you because they're in the belly of the fish. Adults, if I'm just making sense, just kind of nod your head. All of us know it. Some of them are our own children or our own family members or the people that we love or they were former leaders in our group. And all I just will remind you is that God is not done yet. And that in the belly of the fish is when Jonah prays. But you just need to be there and to be ready. So here's the outline of Jonah so far. We've gotten through chapters 1 and chapter 2. You have, there's God's plan. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. If you got it, say got it. There's God's plan. Then there's rebellion. And then there's abandoning God. I'm going to get on the boat and I'm going to head the other direction. And then there are consequences. And then God pursues. And then there is a second chance. So just look at that list. That's an outline of the story of Jonah. If you got it, say got it. Now, adults, I would ask students this because it could be true for them. But adults, how many of you can look at this and almost overlay your life over this very same outline? Anybody willing to say that that's pretty? So, students, keep your hands up, adults. Students, I just want you to look around. These are people that understand. They understand that God had a plan, and yep, I rebelled, I abandoned God, there were consequences, but God pursued, and then there was a second chance. Here's the problem, put your hands down. Jonathan right now, my friend Jonathan, right now, he is somewhere in step 3 or step 4 right here. He's only right here. He's not yet, he doesn't know this is happening. He's not aware that this is happening. And so right now, some of you are in this, you know, you're somewhere, every one of us, by the way, in this room, is on this screen somewhere, trying to figure out where you are and realizing that God pursues. And so, we talked about that God sent the fish for protection. He gave Jonah some time of reflection. He changed his direction. And then I said there was a fourth one, and it was going to be continued. And I think he said it back there, resurrection. This is the part of the story that where everything begins to change. And so, we go to Jonah 3. We're not going to spend a lot of time in Jonah 3, but I just want to show you, set it up before our session later on this evening. And I love Jonah 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, I really should have blacked out those words. Because I love to ask students who've never read the story, what do you think God said to him this time? Now, I've spoiled it here by the words. But when I asked Jonathan this, who wasn't very familiar with the story of Jonah, he's like, oh, he probably said, Jonah, thanks a lot, you blew it. Jonah, you really messed up. Or Jonah, I hope you like that fish. Or Jonah, thanks to you, I've got to go get somebody else. You've wasted all of my time. Or Jonah, thanks to you, now I've got to go find a real prophet because I thought you were real only to find out you were fake. Jonah, I am so disappointed in you. All those things we would expect. And Jonathan wrote those things down as what God would have said. He was a little bit surprised when the word of the Lord to Jonah the second time was what? The exact same thing it was in chapter 1. God just says, hey Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you. This picture popped up when the Nashville Predators played the Winnipeg Jets. Is that right? Played Winnipeg in the playoffs. And I just love this image. It's like this guy deserves some sort of praise, right? He goes to an away game. He shows up and he's standing there in his colors. And this guy's got to feel lonely. Jonah has to feel a little bit like this guy here going, Why am I going right into the heart of the enemy and cheering for this team? But Jonah obeys the word of the Lord. He went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. You all saw that in the skit last night. Here's Jonah's sermon. Yet 40 days, Nineveh overthrown. In Hebrew, it's actually five words. Yet 40 days, Nineveh overthrown. Now, overthrown or overturned, it's this word, hapak. Now, you'd be very careful saying this word because you can be a problem. So we're not going to say it a whole lot, but it is the word. But the word means overturned. But the word is interesting because it can also be translated, converted, and changed forever. It means that something is either overturned or something is completely flipped upside down. We talk about, my life was turned upside down. That can be good or bad, right? There's two meanings of this word. In 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. Or it'll be overthrown, or it will be changed forever. That's Jonah's prayer. How many of you have ever seen the show What Would You Do? Right? How many of you have probably been in a situation in life where you felt like you were on the show? Right? It's happened to me a lot. I'm watching one particular episode where these girls, they turn out to be actors, right? You find out they're actors, and they're sitting at a coffee shop with a computer, and they're watching this video of this girl at their school, supposedly, and they're making fun of her because she looks different, and they're talking about her, and they're saying horrible things about her, and they are laughing at what she looks like, and they're sending it to some other friends. Now, they're all in on it. The people at the booth next to them, of course, don't know that they're on the show. And they are just getting livid. And I'm watching the show knowing they're actors, and I'm getting livid. And I'm like, I can't watch this. Like, these girls, like, I would go, if I were to go and say something to them, it would not be something very nice. Like, let me, God, I'm Jonah, send me. I'm going to go and let them know that they're about to be overturned. And then if they apologized and said, oh, you know what, we're so sorry, I'd probably say, no, sorry, too late. You don't get to apologize. I don't want you to apologize. I don't want you. They go, let us just come to your youth group. No, I don't want you in my youth group. I don't want the three of you anywhere near the students in our group. I found myself getting so angry. And the Ninevites, they believe God. A fast is proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne. I highlight that phrase for a reason. Took off his robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and he sat down in the dust. I'd ask you this question. There's some of us that probably need to rise up off of our thrones and realize that, you know what? I'm not the king. And I'm not in charge. And I need to get off of the throne. This word shuv, it looks like shove. It's a word that means to repent, to turn, and to walk the other direction. I like it because it kind of looks like somebody going, no, you're going the wrong way, and shoving them the other way. But it's this idea of we're going to change. This is the proclamation the king issued. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Don't let them eat or drink, but let the people be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Yes, Jonah, success. Finally, you deliver the message and then there's success. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. I'm going to close our session this morning by showing you a diagram that's one of my favorites. And I meant to tell Richard, this is going to be this picture I'll show in just a minute is the best picture of the skit you all did last night. If you were here last night, you'll appreciate that. One of the 10 best sports moments was when Trinity College was playing Millsaps University in a football game. Trinity is down by 2 with 2 seconds or so left on the clock. The score is like, they're down by 2. It's either 22-20 or 24-22. And I want you to watch their last play of the game. They run a play that they had practiced and practiced in such a situation when things get desperate. So I think we have the volume ready to go. Let's just watch the play unfold. Here you go. You'll see the score. It's 24-22, 2 seconds on the clock.
The game's over. Barmore's got 3 wide receivers to his left and 2 to the right. He takes the snap. There's only 3 men rushing for Millsaps. Barmore throws it over the middle, complete to Thompson. Thompson looking for a block. He laterals it to Curry, and Curry laterals it again, and it's caught again and Tomlin now on the lateral, and now the lateral to Thompson, and he laterals it back to Maddox on the other side. Maddox looking for a block. He fakes the lateral to Curry. Now he laterals it to Curry. Curry's at the 49-yard line. He's dancing around. He throws it back now to Maddox, who throws it across the field to Barmore. Barmore looking to run. He's looking for a block. He's got a convoy. He's going to throw it to Thompson. Thompson's at the 30-yard line. Thompson now laterals it back to Curry at the 35. They're running out of spaces. Curry fakes. He's going to lateral it to Tomlin. Tomlin's got a chance to go. Tomlin's got a chance to go. He laterals it. Now it's going to go to Maddox. Maddox at the 30-yard line. And now
it was a backward pass.
It's a lateral. And Curry's still going.
No way.
Curry's
still
going. He's going.
It's a touchdown.
It's a touchdown. Scores. The game is over. Curry scores on the lateral. Curry scores. The Tigers lateraled it and kept lateraling. And the game is over. The Tigers win. The Tigers win. The Tigers lateral it and keep lateraling it. And they score from the 39-yard line. The Tigers win the football game. The game is over. The Tigers on the lateral.
The announcer keeps saying, he lateraled it, lateraled it, lateraled it, lateraled it. He kept lateraling it, lateraling it, lateraling it. The word lateral gets used a whole lot. And so then they asked the coach, they said, this play, did you practice this play? And he goes, yep, just like we drew it up. And then, so Time Magazine actually drew this out. I want to show you this because Jonah's story of trying to keep away from making it to the end zone looked a little bit like this. That's the play. There's the play. And it looks very much like the skit last night, right? Do this. No, I'm going to go here. No, I'm going to go here. 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 Finally, Jonah ends up in the end zone. And Nineveh says, we're going to repent. Well, that gets us all the way to Jonah 4. And the first word of Jonah 4 is, but. We'll look this afternoon and tonight how Jonah's big but got in the way of the story. We're going to take a short break, and then I think we're going to eat lunch together, and we look forward to continuing the rest of the day. God be with us this morning, and we thank you for the laughter that we'll share, for the food that we'll share, for the fellowship that we'll share, and God, we're thankful for this story, and to anybody in this room for whom this story is getting more and more personal, God, I just pray that you give them the ears to hear, and let them know that there are people that are here that are waiting for them when they emerge from the belly of the fish. And that the word of the Lord will come to them a second time, and you will give them a second chance. For that, we are thankful, and we all say through Jesus' name, Amen.